God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. 2 Chronicles 32 is a prominent story. It must be significant because we find it in the Bible more than once. It is the story of Assyria coming up against Jerusalem, led by a man named Sennacherib, and hurling accusations and threats against Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem. Why did he do this? Well, you know, sometimes we think that conquering armies are seeking money or power or land. And that may be true, but the fact of the matter is this is human nature on display. And conquering armies have never really needed more than an excuse to conquer. They just have not. Now, having said that, there was a certain way of thinking that is very obvious as you read the words of Sennacherib, this Assyrian, as he insults Hezekiah and Jerusalem and the God of Israel. He says, for instance, in 2 Chronicles 32:13, "Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands anyways able to deliver their lands out of my hand?" What was his estimation of God based upon? Well, it's clear that it was based upon his experience. My fathers have conquered, I will conquer. None of the gods of other lands defended those lands, and your God will not defend you. Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? Now, this goes on for 3, 4, 5, 6 verses. That's what caught my attention this morning, is all the references to the gods of other nations and God Jehovah. And it becomes very clear that he's insulting not Hezekiah, not Jerusalem, but God himself. The concept that there is a God, there is a true God, and that he intervenes in the affairs of men, of his own people. Look at verse 15, verse 16, verse 17, verse 18. Again and again, you find him appealing to his experience, to his history, and the fact that no God that was an idol was able to stand against Assyria's power. Hezekiah freely admits this. In another account of the story, he takes a threatening letter from Sennacherib, and I love this. He spreads it before the Lord as if to say, God, this of a truth, this is true. This is what he said, and they have conquered all these lands. God, what are you going to do for your people and for your name? And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth. In other words, they saw Jehovah God no different than any idol that they had encountered, than any so-called God. Now, that is true today, which is to say, people tend to esteem God based on their experience. So here's someone that's a politician. Let me pick on politicians. A politician can do good, I'm quite sure, but oftentimes they do not. Here's a politician, and he's ambitious, which is not intrinsically wrong, but he's selfish. He just wants power. And in America, historically, it's been necessary for most politicians to appear to be religious, to have some kind of church affiliation, whether it's Catholic or Baptist, and both have or Presbyterian or what have you. And so here's a president. Does he have any real religious fervor? Does he actually depend on a living God? Does he actually pray to such a God? Now, all of them invoke God when it's convenient, but does a politician actually have faith in a living God? Well, he may not, but it's largely based on his experience. If he has seen a church or the church as simply a social institution or a political powerhouse, then he sees it as a way to either hurt or help his ascendancy to power. That's basically where this leader of Assyria was. He just saw all the other gods of these lands and saw that they had done nothing and did not anticipate that God Jehovah would do any better for Jerusalem. So what was the answer? Well, the answer was not to roll over and play dead and assume that God was. In verse 20, the Bible says, "And for this cause," that is, because this threat was basing his assumptions about God on his experience, which was very limited, "for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven." Now, God transcends your experience. It may be that you've had a bad experience with church, or perhaps you've seen people that have used the concept of God to ingratiate themselves with power or to grab power or to abuse people. Perhaps they're moral grandstanders that have no real reverence for God or faith in God. But I want to ask you something. What have you ever experienced that could account for this universe? Have you experienced the time or the weather or the force? Have you experienced God? Whatever you think the cause for this universe, you have not experienced it. At least not as you would have if you were here the day the earth was created. So God transcends our experience. However, there are times when we should ask God to intervene, to interfere in the life as we see it. In verse 21, God did just that. He sent an angel. He gave his people deliverance. He cut off Assyria. And when the leader of Assyria was coming to the house of his God, verse 21 tells us, and they that came forth of his own bowels, his own kids, slew him there with the sword. What an irony. This man who disregarded God was killed in the temple of his own God. When Babylon conquered God's people, they took the temple treasures because there was no idol to carry off. They took the temple treasures from Israel and presented them before Marduk, their god, as if to say, our God of stone has given us victory over God Jehovah. You know, an important element of this is that we should ask God to intervene, and I think this is most effectively done when we ask God to do so for his own sake. Now, sometimes I don't know what God wants, and I'm just praying based on God's mercy, God help me. But many times we can ask God for his intervention based on his own name and for his own sake. Hezekiah said, Lord, of a truth, Assyria has conquered everything in her wake. Dear God, this is true. Please help. Moses, when he was in the wilderness with the people of Israel, said, God, are you going to let your people die? What will Pharaoh say? What will the people of Pharaoh think, that you just brought us out here to kill us? Nehemiah, when he was in perplexity, said, God, these are your people. This is your city. And reverently, he essentially says, God, this is your problem. It is not mine, because these are not my people. This is not my city. It's not my problem. God, I give it to you. Hezekiah, spread it before the Lord. You know, friend, I don't know what you may be encountering today, but there are times when you need not just some flat, static, black and white, ancient God. You need a living God who is in color, who is alive and intervenes in the affairs of men today, who helps men and women and children, who answers their prayers, who shows himself to be true. So people tend to esteem God based on their own experience. God transcends that experience, and there are times when we should ask God to intervene in our lives and in the experience of those around us.